You're listening to Average Joe Sports Talk Podcast with your boy E-Man.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Your boy E-Man coming at you with episode 86. Back at it, baby. Bringing the heat. It's been a minute, but I think I needed to get some insight. Get some more sports content out in the air there so I can go ahead and do my thing. But we had a great week in the last couple weeks in sports. Considering we're still in the middle of this pandemic, these weird and unprecedented times of COVID-19, of the coronavirus status, as I like to call it. A lot of people are still quarantined. You know, the nation still hasn't moved forward yet, but I think we're almost there. And considering the fact that we haven't had live games in over 6 weeks now, more like 7 weeks, I think, almost 2 months, it's getting the next couple of things that we've had in the last 2 weeks. Number one, the NFL draft, which your boy is going to react to it. I'm going to give you my takeaways and what I thought. I'm going to give you the best teams that I think did the best job during this draft, and I think definitely got pieces they needed. I'm going to give you my insight on the best wild card picks, man. What are the best picks of the draft? Not sleepers. I think best overall picks. I'm going to give you my take on who I think those were. And also, I'm going to give you the teams that kind of bombed the draft, you know, that I think did not improve themselves and did a horrible job. I don't think, not a horrible job. It's not an easy job to draft people, to pick people. I mean, I get anxiety just doing my yearly fantasy football draft. I'm going to give you my take of who did not improve themselves and I think did a pretty bad job. And I think I'm going to split this in two episodes. And I also want to give you my take on The Last Dance. 4 episodes in, I didn't want to react after the first two. I wanted to give it, 2 weeks, 4 episodes to kind of take it all in and prepare my analysis here, my breakdown. And man, a heck of a documentary. The Last Dance is one heck of a documentary. But we got to touch that later on, right now during the podcast. I don't know if I may split this podcast into two. It all depends. I'm recording right now. If I get too much NFL content, I may just do NFL in this episode and then boom, kind of break the next, do The Last Dance in a separate episode. But let's see. Most likely I won't. You'll know at the end or not. Anyway, let's get started with some with the NFL draft. Let me give you my take first and foremost. I am glad they had the NFL draft. The NFL right now is in the front runner of normality when it comes to sports. They did not let COVID-19 influence the free agent season, and neither did the draft. They adjusted. They decided to do this whole, Zoom telecommuting draft, and I thought it was super cool. Watching coaches at their own house with their family, players having cameras at their own house too, and the reaction, it felt very, very real. It was very real, man, seeing the environment where they live and reacting, man, with their loved ones, man. You know what I'm saying? Not a big entourage of some of these people. It was just like your core immediate family. And it was a real talk, man. Real talk, real feelings, and it was great. Roger Goodell looked human in his jacked basement and his hooked up, man cave. Did a great job in that first round, I think, kind of like introducing the picks and adjusting to the environment, which is completely different than the live setting and with a big crowd. And I honestly thought it was something really, really good, which I think the NFL can kind of combine this with with the live version, with the actual having people there. I think there's something there. There's a lot of things here that they could take and implement moving forward once we do this again in front of a live audience and in an arena venue kind of thing. But I think you could get some of what we learned this week. And it was awesome. I enjoyed Bill Belichick's dog, who probably did most of the picks, the reason why the Patriots were so horrible. My other takeaway, man, Kingsbury. Yo, Cliff Kingsbury, bro. He got the man pad, bro. He got the bachelor pad. That dude is scoring right now in Arizona more than Will Chamberlain at a swingers party, bro. Because he got the pad. Where all, he has the crib, bro. That definitely the bachelor crib. That brings all the honeys over, you know what I'm saying? But also the players and the coaches with the families and Jerry Jones giddy like a little boy ready for that pick, which I'm gonna hit a little later on with his new coach, Mike McCarthy. It was some genuine reactions, man. Being at a home environment and not in the arena, not in the venue, I thought it was a success. It was the most watched draft ever. And a lot of it has to do because there was nothing else on TV and everybody's just yearning and just feeding for sports. And this happens to be the closest you're going to get to a live game right now. It was a great draft. It was a great draft. And let me tell you something, one of the most talented drafts I've ever seen in my lifetime, believe it or not. Honestly, there was talent here getting picked in the third and fourth round that probably could have gone in the first and second round in other years. But anyway, let's start breaking this this down, man. Let's go over to me. Let's react to the teams that had the best draft. The strategic ones that actually, I think, did a heck of a job, got the pieces they needed, and they definitely improved and found and added pieces that they actually were missing, not just whiffs. And I think, you know, and again, a lot of the times when it comes to drafting, man, whether it's a first round, second round, whatever, it's always a 50-50. I don't care if you're a first rounder. I mean, everybody in the first round is expected to start day one, right? It's been so much a hit or miss throughout people's career that it's very difficult to do, man. I mean, I don't envy these GMs at all in order to when it comes to doing the drafts and picking. I mean, it's a lot of research, man. They got a whole staff that just research and just stats and video, and you're watching video. It's tough, man. And you got a lot of picks. It's a lot of picks, man. And be there through the different rounds, it's not easy. But I give credit to some of these teams. I mean, I'm going to start with the Minnesota Vikings, man. I think they had the best draft overall. I think Mike Zimmer got busy along with his GM. And let me tell you something. They had a total of 16 picks. That's a lot of picks, man. I think they have more picks than the Dolphins. And they went hard on them, man. They got a replacement for Stephon Diggs, who they traded. They got the corner to replace Xavier Rhodes. So, I mean, they went in there. They went in there. They did what they were supposed to do. You know, they got, and in true Zimmer fashion, they reinforced their defensive front. Their defensive front seven, very good. And room for potential left tackle in the near future, man. So they got some, they got the wide receiver to replace Diggs. And they went ahead and structured that defense, man, strengthened that defense out. They went in and they had a heck of a defense. 16 picks, nothing to laugh at, actually. The Ravens did a pretty decent job. I think they had a very, very solid draft. You know, they went ahead and in round two, they got an absolutely steal here to add to the best running attack in the world with Lamar Jackson there. Okay. I mean, they got a great running back and you can't go wrong with that, man. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, you have to do that. I mean, that's got to replace, I forget who the guy that was injured most of the year. Oh man, I can't think of him now, man. Good dude. He's played for the Saints. But honestly, they got a round two steal it was absolute steal. I think Dobbins was an unexpected round two steal. I thought he was going to be the first running back pick. So they got some really good pieces after losing Michael Pierce to free agency. They have a couple of others in the guard now to replace their retired Marshall Yanda too. So Duvernay gives Lamar Jackson another speed merchant and Proach another sleeper at that position, another sleeper wide receiver, you know, along with Devin Duvernay. So you gave Lamar Jackson, a new running back, and two wide receivers are going to surprise some people. I know there's a lot of speed. You're giving Lamar the tools that he needs to be successful. Let's see what Lamar does in year three. Dallas, you know, I'm going to mention Dallas because, man, that the wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, it was an unbelievable pick right there. Number 17 overall, laser focus. Yo, Lamb is a huge upgrade from Randall Cobb. You know, what do you expect? Now you got somebody to pair up with Amari Cooper, who just got a lot of money. Look, they added some other pieces. I mean, after seeing everything else, I mean, you got themselves defensive tackle. They got a corner, which is going to help them a lot. Some guards, defensive end. I mean, they got some quarterback. I have no idea who he is. But they put some pieces together that's going to help that team. Now, there's no excuse for Dak Prescott right now. He has two of the pieces. He has a young wide receiver, unproven himself. But I think this kid Lamb has the tools. And when you have Amari Cooper in your team, this is going to help Amari Cooper free him up, but it's also going to help Lamb. So he has a lot of speed that he could throw to and size. All right, let me see here. You got to mention the Bengals. I mean, they drafted Joe Burrow, no brainer. But to me, their biggest pick in this draft is wide receiver T. Higgins, who fell to the second round. This is a very good compliment to A.J. Dream and Tyler Boyd. Come on, my man. This is insane. This is really, really insane here. It's a heck of a pick. This is definitely gonna give the tools and some, you know, receivers for Joe Burrow to be comfortable with. AJ Green comes back healthy. We know what Tyler Boyd did last year, and T. Higgins. That's not bad. It's not too shabby. You know, they got an outside tackle because you know the line is horrible. Hopefully, that's gonna help Malakin. You know, so I give them props. They had a decent draft there. The Cincinnati Bengals. To me, the best offseason right now, along with the best draft, has to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got the GOAT, Tom Brady, and they trade for Gronkowski, which I still don't know why they made that move, having signed Brady to an extension and still have O.J. Howard under contract. But anyway, look, whatever, man. It is what it is. Gronk is back with Brady. Man, offensive tackle, Tristan Wirfs fell to them in the 12th pick. That's insane. That right there is insane. They get themselves two running backs because, you know, they were struggling in the running back position. And I believe the combination of Keyshawn Vaughn and Raymond Calais, it's going to be some competition in that lineup with Ronald Jones. So they got what they needed. The moves that were even better is getting themselves, like I said, the right tackle, a terrific safety, and really the running game and the outside wideout. It's actually not bad either. I mean, look, they got some pieces. They got a lot of offense. They have a good running back, a complete running back tandem right here with Ronald Jones. It's going to be a lot of competition in that training camp. And come on, the protection for Brady. What can you say? I think they had the – right now, Tampa Bay, to me, has had the best free agent and draft combined. It is what it is when it comes to that, man. I think right now they built that team. They drafted and – sign players with what they have to win now. They're putting all their chips on the table. They're giving the big stack to Tom Brady to go all in. That's exactly what's going to happen. Great draft, great free agency. I think they take the top kick right there. The Carolina Panthers, man, they did something unprecedented. They did not draft a single offensive player. They went nothing but defense. They didn't mess around, man. Matt Rhule just wants to rebuild this defense. I think what Matt Rhule's deal here is I signed Teddy Bridgewater, who's a great, great manager, who's not going to make mistakes. I got one of the top running backs in the business right now, who they just gave an extension to. Wide receivers are a little sketchy. You know, they're a little suspect there. But I think the fact that they went all heavy on defense, this is what the strategy is going to be. It's going to be the 49ers strategy, right? It's going to be, I'm not going to make any mistakes at quarterback, a la Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going to run the crap out of the ball. Okay, and I'm also going to have my defense keep me in games and win me some games. That's pretty much what this offense, what this team is going to be. They're loaded. They're just going to be loaded defensively. It is what it is. McCarthy is going to probably catch another 120 balls, rush for 1,200 yards or 1,300 yards. These guys going to have like, he's probably going to have like, you know, freaking 2,600 combined yards next year with like 20 touchdowns. I'm telling you, it's going to be serious. And then I want to, you know, let me give you my reaction now to my Giants. When I was reading certain articles, they graded the Giants pretty high. I'm going to give them a B+, man. I think they had a decent draft. They did not go after any wide receivers. I think Slayton, Mark Tate, I forget his first name, and Shepard. I believe they had, along with the tight end, I keep forgetting his name, man. He's been injured more than he's been playing. But I think they feel that wide receiver, where wide receiving core is strong enough. And with Saquon Barkley along here, they feel that they just need to give the protection now and the tools for Saquon and Danny Dimes to have the opportunity to make plays. So they went hard, man. Andrew Thomas, you have to go for that best player in the draft in the first round. You got to go for the best talent. Xavier McKinney, great safety addition. That dude is nice. They added another tackle. They added a couple of tackles. Right there, McKinney along is incredibly, it's a beast. And then getting two tackles along with Thomas, who's the man. And trust me, Thomas is a great follow-up to Saquon and Daniel Jones, and McKinney will be better than Landon Collins. That's exactly what I actually think right now. I mean, they just went after the pieces they needed, and that's offensive line. They need protection for Daniel Jones so he could, you know, have less turnovers than he did last year, maybe not fumble it as much, but also have the ability for Saquon Barkley, man, to get some help and have some holes being open there, man. He creates his own yardage. So I'm excited. I wish they would have gone after a wide receiver too, but hey, beggars can be choosers. And to me, the other team that I think really, really did a decent job out of this and this draft was the Cleveland Browns. They closed a gap there with, tackle Jedrick Willis, wide receiver, sleeper. Get ready. You're going to hear this name a lot. Donovan Peoples-Jones. That's gonna be a sleeper there, my friend. Linebacker Jacob Phillips, good depth. All right, in the front seven. So they went ahead and along with the addition of Austin Hooper during the offseason and during free agency, I think with Peoples-Jones kind of might be the steal of the draft, and he's gonna complement Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. Now, there's going to be a lot of competition in the wide receiver core because they also just signed the other Higgins guy. I forget his name is. You know, I think he's been with the team already 3 years. So there's going to be a lot of competition at the wide receiver spot right there. They're giving an opportunity year three for Baker Mayfield to, hey, kind of like no more excuses. let's get in there, man. Last year was a bad year. Let's get Odell back on track. Jarvis is Jarvis. Adding Austin Hooper there to help Baker Mayfield have a security blanket there alongside with Njoku so he could make some plays and not get himself into trouble and force the ball to like Odell all the time like last year. And Peoples, a speedster. Peoples Jones, baby. That's a great name. That of him, Peoples Jones. Definitely they fill some holes. Some holes that this team definitely lacked last year. And honestly, you know, and I'm going to break this down too. I got to react on the Dolphins. Have to. I mean, Dolphins were tanking last year for Tua. And, you know, I think they had a decent draft. I mean, look, you have to go for Tua. The Dolphins had to pick Tua Tagovailoa, the best quarterback in this class. All right. Pure talent. What? Better than Burrows, better than anybody else. Big elephant in the room is the ankle injuries, two ankle injuries, and the hip. The hip is the biggest worry, right? But at this point, man, he's there. You got to take him. You really got to take him. And if this guy becomes, you know, gets healthy, and they, man, I don't think he's going to play. They got the Dolphins are going to have him be the backup and learn from a great pro, which is Fitzpatrick. I don't think he's going to play at all this year. You have to go for Tua. That was, to me, one of the best picks in the draft. You'd be stupid not to. I mean, the offseason, the Dolphins had a great offseason, picking up a lot of pieces. You know what I'm saying? They traded for Matt Breida in this draft. They went ahead and they also added Jordan Howard in the offseason. And then they went ahead and really got busy by adding some wide receivers, you know, and Malcolm Perry. And also getting some guards and some tackles here. All right? Some outside linebackers, they went ahead and they're building the New England Patriots of the South, pretty much. All right? It is going to be pretty decent with Devontae Parker back there and the other guys. You actually have some great pieces that I think this team might be relevant in the next 2 years. They had a decent draft. You can't really hate on them. Now let's really talk about some teams that had a really subpar, next to horrible draft here. Not horrible, but I think I don't know what the hell they were doing. In other words. But let me start with the New England Patriots, right? I still don't get it. They lost Tom Brady, and they didn't pick a quarterback. So I don't get this move, right? They got a safety. That's not bad. I mean, some linebackers are definitely kind of like, you know, would put in the pieces so they could keep that same defense. A freaking kicker in the fifth round. I mean, that's it. They didn't do any offensive weapons whatsoever, but the kicker was the only offensive piece that they went ahead and drafted. Their defense is definitely going to be solid. They're going to be as good as last year and even better. But, man, no quarterback. Stidham is going to be your man. Or Brian Hoyer as your backup. I don't know. I don't know, honestly, what Belichick did here. He's always been traditionally a bad drafter. And I think this year he completely gave up and gave all the drafting responsibilities to his dog. Because, dude, I mean, that dog was in that chair more than Belichick every time they put the camera on Belichick's home. And by the way, dude, Belichick must have saved the first penny he ever made. Because that kitchen or wherever his station looked like crap. I mean, this guy has more money than God and probably still lives in the first home he ever bought. All right. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But yeah, I guess Jarrett Stidham is going to be the man. And Marquise Lee was signed. I don't know what happened here. I'm sorry. They did draft a tight end who's pretty decent. Two tight ends. I mean, they're really going hard. I mean, I know they didn't have any tight end help last year. So they got two tight ends and I forget. And then, of course, no other offensive help. So to me, they did not have a draft that I believe kind of serves some purpose or covers some of their holes. Or at all. I don't know what the hell Belichick was doing. But traditionally, Belichick is a really bad drafter. He just had Tom Brady there to bail him out of his career. So we'll see. We'll see who bailed out who. Brady or Belichick. Who is the man here? And then moving on to another really bad, I think another team that did not have a great draft to me were the Texans. Ah, man. The Texans, it all started with trading DeAndre Hopkins for nothing. For not even a first round pick. And look. They didn't do much better in this draft. Isaiah Coulter was a receiver they got. And that's it. That's a replacement for DeAndre Hopkins. Houston has a few problems and with this offseason, man. Again, Houston, you have a problem and you did not solve it in this draft. I think the Houston Texans have done the worst job between free agency and the draft. We had Tampa Bay doing the best job combined free agency-wise and the draft. I think Houston has done the worst job combined free agency and also in the draft. Now, you know, it's hard for teams to make the playoffs to have any picks, but man, this is like ridiculous. To me, next, the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts. I'm thinking to myself, is Jalen Hurts the next Taysom Hill? Is that how they're going to use Jalen Hurts? Do they feel that they need a backup because a really, really expensive quarterback cannot seem to stay healthy? They had three really decent picks, Driscoll, Hightower, and Wongo, and they all should have gone earlier. So that's pretty much that was the best picks right there. Jalen Reagor is a decent wide receiver. I don't know how much he's going to be a piece right away. Drafting that quarterback did not make any sense. All right. But I guess they're going to run a Taysom Hill kind of offense, and then hopefully he also be the backup if something happens. That part I don't get. So I don't, they got a really bad grade to me. I think they got borderline a C grade here. Then another team that didn't do great was the Vegas, the Raiders. You know, they went hard and they got some wide receivers, a lot of wide receivers here. Didn't do anything to help that offensive line, which you need that protection for Carr, who's been doing horrible. Now, at this point, we have no idea who in the heck is going to be the quarterback here, because I think it's going to be a competition between Mariota and Carr. I think that's the way they're going to put these two guys against each other. It is what it is. I mean, I think Gruden is going to make this a battle for quarterback, and he's going to see, listen, I got three wide receivers. Ruggs, we know what Ruggs can do. And then running back Lynn Bowen and Bryan Edwards. I mean, Edwards is a good piece. I like Edwards too. We're going to see what's going to happen here. They added offense, did not improve their offensive line, which it was weak last year. And they're going to probably encourage a quarterback battle between Mariota and Carr. So I don't think they could have done a little better. They could have definitely, they needed some tackles, man. They needed to strengthen that offensive line, and they did not do that at all. The other team that I thought shit the bed were the Chargers. The Chargers, after drafting Herbert, pretty much that was it to me. You know, I know they have some great receivers out there, you know, with Keenan Allen and their team, and you know, and I forget, Williams is the other guy. But after Justin Herbert, I mean, they didn't have a lot available. I mean, you drafted another running back to replace, the guy that just was signed. Oh man, I forget his name. I'm really bad with names today, people. I apologize. The guy that decided to stay, and he was in my fantasy league last year. After that, you know, you still got Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon. I forgot here, Melvin Gordon. They got a running back to replace, you know, Melvin Gordon to be Austin Eckler's Austin Eckler's a compliment here. But I believe the biggest deduction by far comes from addressing one of the league's worst offensive tackle situations, which again, another team that has a horrible offensive line and did not do anything to improve that. Kind of there with the Raiders, and you're throwing a rookie quarterback in the mix here who's not going to have any protection, has some offensive weapons, but is not going to have a lot of time to throw. Let's see. This is not a good mix here, and it's not very promising for young Justin Herbert to start off like that. But I think Justin is probably going to back up. Who's the starting quarterback? Who's their starting quarterback now, man? Tyrod Taylor. He's going to back up Tyrod Taylor. And until Tyrod Taylor, a la Baker Mayfield, remember, he also was a starting quarterback in Cleveland during Baker Mayfield's rookie year. And I think after they lose a couple of games, maybe they go 0-4, you know, Justin Herbert's coming in. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be a Daniel Jones mix and a Baker Mayfield mix. And unfortunately, Tyrod Taylor is just an ultimate pro. Great guy. Great guy to sit behind and learn from, but he's never going to be a starting quarterback in this league long-term wise. So, and finally, I believe the worst grade of the draft, man, I think has to go to the Packers. Aside from the Jordan Love issue here, and before I begin breaking this down, either Matt LaFleur has figured out the best motivating factor for Aaron Rodgers to be the best quarterback in the league next year, which, you know, he's a GOAT. He's a Hall of Famer, right? By drafting his replacement with 3 years left in the contract. Is that something that he read somewhere in one of his, I don't know, books and motivating class? Or he really thinks that Aaron Rodgers is on the decline and they need to look at the future? That's the only two things I could look at. They either want to replace Aaron Rodgers eventually in the near future, and they went ahead and picked a quarterback in the 28th pick, which I think Jordan Love would have been available there. And Jordan Love is a good quarterback, but I mean, the difference between Fromm and Jordan Love, to me, it's not much. Even Jacob Easton, So that right there is something to kind of scratch your head about when it comes to the Packers. You know, they got another running back. I mean, you have Aaron Jones, who's your man. I don't know why you need another running back. But then after that, that's it, man. No wide receivers. They went ahead and they got a tight end, which they needed to because Jimmy Graham is out. I mean, they didn't consider an offensive tackle here. And absolutely shocking. I know why they didn't, you know, get any wide receiver support for Rodgers. So the bottom line here is that the Green Bay Packers did not improve themselves. The Vikings, the Cowboys, the Buccaneers, and the 49ers and Saints all did much better as their NFC contenders in regards to improving their team for next year. Again, I think right now Aaron Rodgers is looking himself in the mirror and be like, damn, deja vu, bitches. Remember? 4 years before, you know, they drafted Aaron Rodgers and, you know, and he said that behind Brett Favre 4 years before he started and they decided to part ways with Brett Favre. And right now there's 3 years left in Aaron Rodgers' contract and he's the highest paid NFL quarterback. If you were going to pay this guy some money the year before, why draft a young quarterback unless you're worried about the near future? Jordan Love had a horrible year last year. Not a horrible year. Had a good year. I mean, but compared to the year before, it's, you know, and he had a lot of loss. He lost practically the whole team to the NFL draft last year. Offensive coordinator, new coach. But Jordan Love is the closest to Pat Mahomes when it comes to the talents. He can make the different type of throws from different angles. Has a heck of an arm. You know, he has to work on his accuracy and interceptions. But that was the same thing they said about Patrick Mahomes. And he walked in a good situation where he learned from a great pro and Alex Smith. And then also the fact that he learned from was with a great coaching and Reed. I don't know that Jordan Love is going to be falling in the same situation and how much giving or I guess mentorship will Aaron Rodgers give to Jordan Love. Hey, it remains to be seen, but I think it's deja vu for Aaron Rodgers and it's definitely going to happen. Eventually, at one point, he says he wants to play until, you know, Drew Brees and Tom Brady's age, but I don't know. This remains to be seen. In regards to quarterbacks, Jake Fromm, you know, getting picked by the Bills. I'm a little surprised there, but not surprised at the same time. He was the number 167 pick. This guy should have been picked up a lot earlier. Again, just like Jordan Love, he fell off during his senior year, but it all had to do with personnel as well. But I think the Bills had to pick him up. Right now, to me, Josh Allen is still raw. He improved year over year. I don't think he improved as much as Lamar Jackson. He has a lot of question marks and a lot of weakness in his passing game. Not accurate, has a great arm, but his decision-making is horrible. Aside the athleticism, that's a huge problem. And I think when they see Fromm like this, they're like, yo, we may have a battle of quarterbacks here and somebody to throw in there. And that's a good problem to have. Have young talent at quarterback. That's a good problem to have. So that's a great pick for them. Jacob Easton, a number 122 by the Colts. Excellent pick. One of the best picks in the draft. Why? That's your future quarterback. He's going to sit behind Phillip Rivers for a year, and he's going to be starting next year. It is what it is. At 122, he's going to be probably he's going to be the steal of the draft in a year from now. Tua Tagovailoa, one of the greatest picks of the draft. I already told you why. You have to draft the best talent in the draft, regardless of injuries, and you take a risk. Number 10, Jedrick Willis to the Browns, man. Great pick. The Browns needed this. And number 10 is one of the best picks of the draft. Number 17, CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys. Shit, man. This is going to be crazy. I mean, they're going to have this kid running side by side to Amari Cooper. And is right now what the Cowboys did were, hey, I'm giving you all the tools, Dak. We gave you a 1 year, we franchise tag you, and you need to show us that you're worth $35 million. Plus, we're giving you all the tools and the shiny cars in the world right now for you to get busy. And finally, another great pick, surprise pick, were Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back from LSU that went to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they found a replacement for Kareem Hunt. And this is going to be the guy that's going to anchor that crazy offense and speed along with the wide receivers and Patrick Mahomes. Those were the best picks I just went by, and I kind of graded you the best teams that made the best job and then also the teams that did the worst job. So you know what? I'm going to leave the last dance to the next episode. All right. I'm going to post the NFL draft only, and then I'm going to go ahead and do the last dance for the next episode. Okay. I appreciate you guys. Stay safe. We're almost out of this whole COVID-19 deal. And I think that we should be flattening that curve and hopefully get back to some type of normality. And please, if you see an essential worker, thank them. Give them your best. They're out there for us. Again, my job is essential as well. My drivers they're all collection garbage drivers. And then, man, they're out there busting their hump every day, man, risking themselves as well. So I know how it is. I've been going to work every day. And I know some people right now wish they could say that I'm very fortunate and that my family's safe and I have a job. And at the same time, I'm able to contribute and help out the community as well. Stay safe. Soon, we're going to be out of this and we should be back to normality. Your boy E-Man signing out. Peace.